Hey, Mark Ashton here, coming to you on May 30th from, get this, the Great Wall of China. I know, I'll go to all kinds of extreme lengths in order to bring you video accelerators that you can really sink your teeth into. This time we're coming from the Great Wall of China. Seriously, like, I am in China at the Great Wall. You can see some of the sites behind me where the wall was built. This is called the bottling part of the Great Wall of China. And the story on the Great Wall is an amazing story and has some very interesting correlations to the passages we read today out of the book of Ecclesiastes. So here's the story. This wall was built over a 2,300-year period, starting at 700 BC. That's about the same time that the Assyrians came in and wrecked the nation of Israel. Remember, Solomon's about 900 BC. So 200 years after that, that's when the Great Wall of China started being built. It hit its optimal point about 1600 AD. During this time, the wall had been built in sections and in extensions in different places, and the length of the wall totaled 10,000 kilometers, or 6,000 miles long. The wall was designed to protect the northern border of China against the invaders from the Mongol and Manchurian empires. They wanted to do everything that they could to be able to keep their enemies out. So, this became the world's largest man-made structure. It was built in strategic alignment with natural protections. So in this case, we're built right along the top ridge of a mountain range, which would give them double protection from their invaders. It also became something of a highway. In many places, the Great Wall of China is the width of five horses, and they could send entire armies up and down this wall whenever there was trouble. If they would see invaders, they would shoot up fire or they would shoot up smoke, and all of the army would come to that place and they would protect that part of the wall. Well, the wall actually did a pretty good job of keeping out all of the invaders because it was so hard to get through. I mean, look how thick and impenetrable this thing is. You couldn't go around it because it was way too long. You couldn't dig under it. You couldn't go over it because the army was there. And you couldn't go through the wall either because it was just way too massive. Do you know how people breached the wall when they did? And the truth is, many armies did breach the wall. The way that they breached the wall was that they went right through the gates. Because the key weakness to the wall wasn't the wall itself. The weakness to the wall was the gatekeepers. And they bribed the gatekeepers in order to be able to get through the wall. This is one of the key lessons that you learn from the book of Ecclesiastes as well, as we've read parts of chapter 7, 10, and 12 today. One of the quotes that you'll find in there is that there is not a righteous man in all the earth. There is not one who ever does what is right and never sins. Well, Solomon knew this, and so did the Mongol invaders. Everybody's been touched by the curse of sin. From ordinary people like you and me to gatekeepers here in China. At the end of the same chapter, Solomon goes even further when he says, I have found only one upright man in 1,000 and no upright women among 1,000. This only have I found. God made mankind upright, but men have gone in search of many schemes. You know, in the beginning, God created us to be perfect. But every single one of us has betrayed that perfection and traded it in for our own sinful nature. Another great quote that comes from this is from chapter 7. Now, chapter 7 is mostly wise sayings for all those people who don't have upright hearts, people like you and me. And to be honest, the writer of Ecclesiastes primarily takes the role of a secular philosopher at this section, pointing out things that anybody could see as wise, regardless of whether or not they believe in God. For example, extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts a heart. Well, that saying is something that the gatekeeper could have used, isn't it? That a bribe corrupts your heart? I'll bet that the guards who let the Mongols through the Great Wall wish they could have heeded that proverb after they saw the destruction that the Mongols brought to the nation of China from the Great Wall. Or how about this quote from chapter 10? As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. In other words, even if you do a lot of wise and honorable things in your life, you do one stupid thing and it can stink up your whole reputation for a lifetime. Or how about this? A good name is better than perfume. Boy, have I found that to be true. I mean, your reputation matters. In the business world, people hire those who they trust. Girls ask each other what they think of a boy before they date him. Even a pastor's reputation makes a difference as to whether people will recommend his church or not. People are attracted to a good name, like a good perfume. And the names of those gatekeepers who brought the bribes, well, those names were wrecked forever. Okay, one last quote here. It says this: no one knows what is coming. Who can tell him what will happen after him? I mean, the truth is, we don't know our future. We don't know what's going to happen at the end of our lives or for the rest of our lives, especially when it comes to facing death. You know, the Great Wall of China is known not only as the largest structure in the world, it's also the largest cemetery in the world, because so many people died giving their lives to build the Great Wall of China. And one of the questions we have to ask is not only what's happening in our earthly future, but what's happening for our eternal future. There is one who knows the future, you know. That's God Himself. In fact, He runs the future. And just like there's a gate to the Great Wall, there's a gate to the eternal kingdom that God has offered to us. Jesus Himself said, "I am the gate." But you can't bribe Him to get in. You can't be good enough to get in. You can't run over or under or through the wall. The only way is to enter through the gate. And because all of us have that corrupted heart that I mentioned earlier, that Ecclesiastes describes so huge, well, we can't earn our way through the gate. Nobody's good enough. We just depend on Jesus to open the gate for us. We depend on Him to die for us so that we can get through the gate. He paid for our corruption by His death on the cross and opened the gates to heaven for us. And because of that, we can have life in His name. If you haven't thanked Jesus recently for being the gate, if you haven't thanked Him for dealing with people with corrupt hearts, if you haven't told Him that you trust Him, why don't you do that today? Because unlike the writer of Ecclesiastes, Jesus does know what's coming. Jesus can tell you what will happen next, and you can trust Him. Well, this has been Mark Ashton coming to you on the Great Wall of China with the book of Ecclesiastes, going around the world to bring you the best accelerators ever. May God bless you.